chapter 21. We're studying our eternal home. Our eternal home. We've got a lot of verses to look at tonight. Last week we read the dimensions of it, the size of it, the 12 gates of it, the wall of it, the foundations of it. We didn't expound upon it much, but I want to say just a little bit about it. Not so much about the wall and the gates, but I do want to say something about the foundations. The wall has 12 gates, 3 on the east, 3 on the west, 3 on the south, 3 on the north. Gates. And these gates represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel was to be the entrance because for the first 1600 years, and we studied that on Wednesday nights, for the first 1600 years, man was an utter failure. Absolute, utter failure. Gentile, no nations, all one people, one language. For about 1600 years, man was an absolute, before the flood, after the flood, man was an absolute, total, utter failure. And then God called Abraham out of that nightmare down there in the Ur of the Chaldees and started with a nation. And God's plan for the nation of Israel was, I'll use this nation to bring all people to the God of Abraham. Didn't happen. Instead, all those wicked nations took Israel down. The only real bright spot that lasted for any length of time, and it was marred by David himself and his own personal life, but the 40 years that David ruled, there was no idols, there was no false images, there was no false gods, nothing like that. It was pure and clean. David had personal problems that plagued him. But as far as a rule, and Solomon for the first half of his rule, but other than that, it was kind of up and down. There was a few good kings. The kingdom was split and divided, like a lot of churches today. Christians divided. Isn't it a shame when you see a brother and sister in Walmart and you have to take another aisle? Well, you bow your head down and act like you don't see it. Isn't that awful? Don't look at me like that don't happen. You know it happens. It happens everywhere. And yet we're going to spend eternity together. Isn't it sad? I can honestly say tonight, and I've said this before without any degree of hypocrisy, I'm free. Nobody's got me chained. Nobody. Somebody wants to be mad at me, you have to get in line. Nobody's gonna chain me to disgruntledness and anger and bitterness. No more. I'm going to be 73 in a few weeks. I'm getting too old, and I'm just going to stay free. I'm going to be like Frosty. Trouble comes, I'm going to run. Just run the opposite direction. So anyway, it's sad, but it's a fact. And the children of Israel divided. No good kings in the north, none. In the south, spasmodic. Hezekiah was a good king. Uzziah was a good king. Josiah was a good king and a few others. A lot of bad kings in the south too. And believe it or not, for a period of time, Jezebel's daughter ruled the southern kingdom. Jezebel's daughter ruled the southern kingdom. Unbelievable. So it was kind of a rocky rocky ride throughout their period of time as a nation until they went into captivity, 586 B.C., but they failed to do what God called them to do as a nation. But they were to be the entrance. That's why they're represented here as gates. And of course, the old city of Jerusalem had walls and gates in it. But these gates, and I said last week, I'm sorry, but there's not one pearly gate. There's not one pearly gate. There's 12 pearly gates. Every gate is represented by pearl. And we sing a lot of songs. We had some, what you would call them, critics, music critics in Romania. And they scrutinized every song that was sung. If they'd go to somebody's ministry or church service or whatever, they'd scrutinize every song. Anything in there that might be a little bit in or off from scriptures, boy, you'd hear it after service. They were critics, musical critics. And there is a lot of songs that's not really biblical. They're beautiful, but not too biblical. But then, on the other hand, there's a lot of songs that are, like we've sung tonight and heard tonight, so wonderful and biblical. But there's not a pearly gate. Jesus is the door, not a pearly gate. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the door. And so he's not a pearly gate. There are 12 pearly gates. And each one of those pearly gates represents each of the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm going to give you the measurements again. I'm not going to do the multiplication and all the analyzing. But the city is four square. And it is 1,323 mile four square. That's a big city. The wall of the city is as wide as the state of Ohio, over 200 mile. Yep. That's big. I'm sorry, not 200 mile. I'm getting confused here. It's 216 feet. Not 216 miles. I thought when I wrote that down, I thought I better double check that. The wall is 216 feet wide, not mile wide. That would be a wide wall, wouldn't it? But even a 216, that's pretty wide. And I'm not the best mathematician, but it's got the measurements in there concerning a cubit, what a cubit is, and a reed, what it is, and other measurements to which is given in here. Now, but what I want to zero in on tonight is the foundation. I preached this morning on the foundation. The foundation. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the word foundation in Psalm 11, verse 3 means the basic political and moral support. That's what it means. It's a Hebrew word, foundation. It means the basis for political and moral support. That's what it means. If it be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Foundations are very important. And Jesus built the physical world foundation in creation, and he built the spiritual foundation as he himself is the foundation of the church. No other foundation can be laid, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. But the church plays a part of the foundation. So, if you look with me, if you will, in verse 19, the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And then it goes on to tell you which stones are represented there. They're there. And there's 12 of them. There's 12 stones as the foundation. Then in verse 12, it goes back to the gates. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. And the city was pure gold, as transparent glass. Wow, what a city this is going to be. It's a prepared place. Now, I want to look at a few verses, at least two, in relationship to that. The foundations are represented by the church age, while the gates and the wall were represented by the Old Testament age, and basically Israel, because the Gentile nations have been an absolute, utter failure. Total, utter failure as far as fulfilling anything in the program of God. They did, and God did use the Gentile nations to rule over the Jew, and still does today. But if you hold your finger right there, and we'll come back, we want to go over into the book of Ephesians, and then we'll look at a verse in Corinthians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Well, I'll get in the right book here pretty soon. I can't get out of Galatians. Ephesians chapter 2, here we are. Let's begin reading in verse 19. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. There was prophets in the days of Christ. John the Baptist was a prophet. And there were prophets after, until the Bible was complete. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly frameth together, groweth into a holy temple into the Lord. So there you find the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now go back with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I used to be able to do about three or four things at the same time. You notice I said used to. I kind of stopped doing that because I can't do that anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about building, the building of God. Christ's church is pictured by a body, it's pictured by a building, and it's pictured by a bride. Three pictures in the New Testament. Christ's true church is pictured as a building, as a human body, and as a bride. Those three pictures. And here's the building. Verse 9 of chapter 3, 1 Corinthians. We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Now remember, the city has 12 foundations. And each one of those foundations represents an apostle or the entire New Testament time, the church, the body, the building, the bride. That's what it represents, those stones, those foundations. And they're all gems. They're all precious stones, as they're pictured there. And we're told we need to take heed how we build upon Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. He, in Israel, he was the rock. Now, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So we build upon Him. We build upon Him. Now, religions replace Him with a variety of characters throughout mankind. Variety of characters. They replace Him and take Him down. And religion puts somebody, other character up. But He is, and no, you can't lay another foundation. And we saw what this morning happened when you don't have a good foundation. What happens? Now, verse 12, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, there it is. The 12 foundations are pictured by precious stones. And the city is pure gold. Durable things. Indurable things. Eternal things. People are wasting their life. Time is life, and life is time. And when you waste time, you waste your life. Would to God we could get that into this younger generation's mind and understanding. When you waste time, you waste your life. That's what you do. Just waste it. When it could be utilized for something that is beneficial to our own hearts or to maybe somebody else. And a lot of people today are building with wood, hay, and stubble. Perishable things. They're perishable. They will not endure the fire. This is the preparation for the judgment seat of Christ. As every man's work shall be tested by fire. So we see Paul warning a carnal church, a carnal people, a divided church, a church that had multiple problems. He told them right off the bat, you're carnal. I can't speak unto you as spiritual because you're carnal. You're like little babies. And you better start getting your act together and start getting your priorities together and start building upon this foundation with something that's not temporal, not perishable. You better start building with something that is permanent, eternal, and precious, and something that will pass the fire. Because all your work's going to go through the fire. It goes on to tell you down through there. The person will be saved. Now, those precious gems back there, and we're going to go back there in a moment. We saw the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. That's the foundation to which we build upon. And we're responsible how we build. Now, wouldn't it be sad to have a foundation with all those precious gems and all those precious stones and a city of pure gold? And we build upon it, sitting over in the corner someplace, an old wooden shack. As you find in some mountain, down on some mountain range in southern West Virginia. And that's not putting them people down. That's just how they live. I live down there among them. Some of the greatest people. They just live in an old shack, side of the road. Sometimes a hard rain comes and the shack goes down the river. Seen that happen many times. Now, isn't it sad to have such a precious, precious picture and people trying to build on it with an old wooden shack made of wood, hay, and stubble? That's what God sees when people waste their life on perishable things rather than eternal and precious. All right? I don't want to make anybody mad tonight. I made enough people mad this week. I don't want to make anybody else mad. So, it's just a fact. And you know, not going to have to answer to this old broken down preacher someday. I just preach what God tells me. I'm not the smartest boy on the block, never have been. Not the spiritualest man that's ever pastored to serve God, never have been. But I am what I am by the grace of God. And some people don't like what God has to say, and they get furious. I just tell them, tell God, don't tell me. Tell God. So on the way back, let's stop off and look at a man who had his priorities right. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and for the sake of time, as I said, when I get up to teach and preach, that clock goes on fast speed. Hebrews chapter 11, talking about Abraham, in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him for the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen? That's what Abraham moved with every day. Every day. He was looking for that city that had foundations. And boy, I want to tell you, men have built some beautiful buildings. The dictator in Romania, and I was in it, was building, it had 2,400 rooms. Some of the rooms, you could put a city block in them. Everything lavished with gold, crystal chandeliers, everything plush. 2,400 rooms, and the entrance to it was kind of like a V, and he built 5,000 plush apartments for his secret police to live in. Nobody could get in there past him. He would build that while the people of Romania starved. Couldn't buy a glass of water. Couldn't buy anything. You have to stand in line for 2 or 3 hours to get one egg or a dried up piece of bread while he was building that. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. After the fall of communism and they killed him and his wife on Christmas Day of 1989, the government overtook that property, and now it's used for government offices and so forth. But it was plush. It was beautiful. And it wasn't finished yet. He was still building it. All that stuff's going to burn up. All that stuff's going to be destroyed. All of it. Every bit of it's going to go. We're going to a place that's not perishable. Not perishable. I said last week, be reminded every day, God is with you. Every day when you get up in the morning, God is with me. And now you just set your sights upon Him and look for Him and look for where He's going to take you. Look for where He's going to take you. That's what kept Abraham going. He looked for a city that hath foundations. Not a foundation, hath a foundation. How do you know that? By faith. When was it told him? We have no idea. That just dropped in there. We don't have a clue. There's not a mention of that in the Old Testament. When God spoke to Abraham at any time, I've never found a clue in the Old Testament God ever told him about this city. But he found out about it. God revealed it to him sometime. And that's what kept him going, because he knew where I'm going is going to be a beautiful place. And it's not made by man. It's made by God. God's the builder. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Now back to Revelation 21. We've dealt with the foundations there a little bit. All those beautiful stones represented in the church age. The church age. And that's what Christianity is supposed to be building upon, this foundation. Christ. Now, verse 22, we saw the city, the size of it, the wall, the gates, the foundations, how they're all represented. Verse 22, I saw no temple. I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. In verse 22, there's no temple. And in verse 25, there's no night. And they're connected. We'll look at the temple here in just a moment. Why is there not going to be a temple in eternity? Flip back with me just one page to chapter 21. In verse 3, and we read this, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, but no temple. The tabernacle, but no temple. Why? Let's go back and look. Just kind of hold your finger there in Revelation and go back with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus 25. We're not going to spend a long time in Exodus. Exodus 25. Moses is getting all of the instructions for the ceremonial law. Feast days, sacrifices, priesthood, all of that's given. And everything that needs to be prepared and everything that needs to be made. Exodus 25:10, they shall make an ark of shittim wood, and 2 cubits and a half shall be the length, cubit and a half the breadth, and 1.5 cubits thereof shall overlay it with pure gold, and so forth. And what he has given there is from verse 10 all the way over through verse 40, the end of the chapter, is the description of the tabernacle. When they were first delivered out of Egypt, and before God ever gave all the law and the ceremonial law and the moral law, it was called the tent meeting, or the meeting of the tent, or the tent of the meeting. And that's where God met with Moses and Joshua. The tent. Now they're delivered, they're out there, they've got the law. Their instruction is to build a tabernacle. Every time they moved, they took that tabernacle apart, took it down, loaded it up on wagons. Yeah, they had wagons. Yeah. They weren't cave people. They had wagons. And the Levites and so forth, Aaron's family, were responsible for moving it, priesthood and so forth. Then once God said, once the cloud stopped, all right, we're going to spend a little time here, erect that back up again. Rebuild it. Then when they crossed the river Jordan, they established a tabernacle at Shiloh. And that's where it stayed. Shiloh. But for 38 years, it was taken down, reconstructed, moved, taken down, reconstructed, moved, taken down again for 38 years. Then when they crossed the River Jordan and they got the land conquered and possessed it, they were instructed to build the tabernacle at Shiloh. And that's where it was. God gave specific. It says in verse 25, verse 40, I want you to look at that. And look thou, make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount. And that, I don't have the time. If you want to write the reference down, that was reiterated in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 5. The tabernacle. And in eternity, in Revelation chapter 1, it says the tabernacle of God will be with man, but no temple. The tabernacle. Now, turn over with me, if you will, to 2 Samuel. Years later, Joshua was gone. The judges ruled. They're gone. Saul was chosen as king. 2 Samuel, there I am again trying to do two or three things at the same time. Can't do it. And I got to get in 2 Samuel instead of 1. And I'm a mess. My grandson about wore me out this afternoon. I told him to go pick on somebody's own age. 2 Samuel chapter 7, David's king. Came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest around about from all his enemies, the king said unto Nathan the prophet, boy, this, you talk about a man after God's own heart. He had flaws, he had weaknesses, and he failed, floundered. But here's a man after God's own heart. The king said unto Nathan the prophet, see how I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord's with you. Whatever you want to do, do it. God's with you. Came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even unto this day, but have walked in a tent in a tabernacle? Now, turn over with me for a little more clear. Let me see here where I want to go. I don't have the time. I was going to go over to Chronicles, but I don't have the time. Yeah, we're going to take the time. First Chronicles says a little bit more. First Chronicles chapter 17. First Chronicles 17, verse 4. Same incident, but a little more information. I start reading in verse 4. Go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all of Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have ye not built me a house of cedars? Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, and thou shouldest be ruler of my people, and I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like unto the name of great men on the earth. And let's skip on down, verse 10. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all my enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will... build thee a house. It shall come to pass when the days be expired that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house. I will establish his throne forever. So David couldn't build it, but desired to build it. And Solomon ended up building it. And it was known as the first temple, Solomon's temple. And it originated out of man's heart, not God. God was a tabernacle. David's heart, look at this beautiful home I live in. That beautiful cedar. Boy, God's been so good to me. Well, we ought to do something for God. You know that? Boy, we ought to do something for God. Look how good God has been to me. We just ought to do something for Him. That originated in David's heart. But David said, but God said to David, and I don't have time to read the rest of it, you've shed blood. You've shed blood. I can't, even though you're a good man, you got a good heart and want to do that, I won't let you build it. You can prepare it. And he did. He prepared gold and iron and all kind of wood and had it shipped down on the Mediterranean from up in Tyre and Sidon and prepared a lot of stuff for Solomon. But Solomon built it. There's been three temples. There was Solomon's temple that was destroyed and burnt. And then there was Zerubbabel's temple. It was burned and destroyed. Then there was Herod's temple. And it was destroyed in 70 A.D. And then there will be the Tribulation Temple. And it'll be destroyed and burnt. And then there'll be the Kingdom Temple. There will be five different temples. Five total. But it was man's creation. Man's desire. God is a God of glory. And you can see by what we read of the home that He has built for us and the beauty of it, the magnificence of it, the preciousness of it, with all of the precious stones, the pure gold, pearl gates. It's just almost... to the point where the human mind cannot imagine it. But that's what God's done for us. Man can't build anything for God that glorious. Can't do it. And Solomon tried it. He tried it. And boy, was it plush. Now, they followed the blueprints of the tabernacle to a degree, as far as the ceremonial law. But Solomon added a lot of things to the temple that was never instructed. Man always adds his own. Man always adds his own. But God never told him. Not much said about Zerubbabel's temple, built after the captivity was over. But you know Herod's temple. The disciples walked outside after Jesus had taught, and his disciples stopped him and said, look how beautiful our temple is. Look how beautiful this magnificent. And they made great speech concerning the beauty of that temple. And God said, it's coming down. Matthew chapter 24. It's coming down. Don't look upon all these things. And so there's going to be no temple in eternity. There's only going to be a tabernacle, that which originated with God. Because that tabernacle represented exactly what God said, God with you. God with you. Now, We're called today the temple of God. These bodies, can you imagine that? These godless, wicked, vile, sinful flesh is indwelt by a holy God Spirit. And the only way it can function is when this body dies every day and the Spirit of God rules in this corrupt, that's what Paul called it, our vile bodies. He said, I know that in me dwells no good thing concerning his flesh. And he calls it the temple. And the beauty is to be seen from within. The beauty of today's temple is to be seen from within. And then you talk to somebody, how are you today? I'm not doing very good. Don't ask me. Don't talk to me. Don't bother me. I'm not feeling good. Got a headache. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted. That's what's in here. That's what's in here. That's supposed to come out here. So God said, in eternity, no temple. No temple. Just a tabernacle. Just exactly what I established. That's what will be there because it represented God with them. And the temple represented the glory of man. It's talking about, does it say the temple of God? No. Solomon's temple. Zerubbabel's temple. Believe it or not, Herod's temple. God's not even mentioned in them. Now let me read a verse with you and we'll go home for tonight. Next week, the nations. The nations in eternity. Yes. The nations in eternity. You can read the rest of that chapter between now and next Sunday night and read about the nations. I'm going to read this. I ain't going to ask you to turn to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. Our eye has never seen. Our ear has never heard. We get so caught up in the things of this world. And God wants us to enjoy life. He gives us these things to enjoy, not to preoccupy us. Not to overtake us. He gave them to us to enjoy. Not to control us. And why waste our time on these frivolous temporal things that's going to be burned up when we got such a glorious place that our eye has never compared to look at? And I want to tell you, in 42 years of ministry, I have been pretty much over a lot of this world. And I've seen some beautiful sights, some beautiful buildings, some beautiful things. But Paul said, you've never seen anything like this. What God has got prepared for them that love him. So no temple, because temple originated with man and carries man's name. No temple. So, tabernacle. Tabernacle. That's God. God with us. Amen? Amen. All right, but next week we'll look at the nations. The nations in eternity. Yeah, there's going to be a new world. Not going to be a new world order, Mr. Bush. Not going to be a new world order. I remember when George Bush the first said that after he got elected, we have now entered into a new world order. Boy, did we ever. And then the internet came, connected the world in a net. But the new world order, we're going to have a new world, period. not a new world order. There are going to be nations. There are going to be nations. Yeah. We're going to learn some things. See some verses, the Old Testament, the New Testament, like we did tonight. Try to explain a little bit. We're not going to go beyond what the Bible says. We're not going into speculation. I'm not a speculative preacher or teacher. All right, I say again tonight, I've never enjoyed preaching and teaching any more than I did today. It's been a wonderful time for my heart. I've told Anna and I've told others, if I can't preach, just put me in the ground. If I can't preach or teach, just put me in the ground. I want to say to people tonight, I will say, first of all, have you disconnected, Rich? Go ahead and disconnect from our Facebook. Thank you for connecting. We'll be back on Wednesday night about 6:15 with our Bible study in the book of Romans.
7 Wednesday night.
What did I say?
You said 6:15.
I told you my brain's not working today. Yeah, I'll have to correct that. I'll put a notice on. Rich, you can put a notice on. Misstatement, 7:15, not 6:15. Put a note on that. I never dreamed that God would ever use me or this internet system to reach people. People won't come